I am Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte is with me in the studio, and on the phone we have Maestro Raffaele Ponte of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra previewing this weekend's kickoff of the season. Thanks for being on Sounds Good.
It's my pleasure. Hi, Tracy. Kate.
So, Maestro, how many seasons now have you opened at the Paducah Symphony Orchestra?
This weekend will be my opening of my fourth season here in Paducah.
And step by step, you are cleverly building huge audiences in Paducah for the Paducah Symphony Orchestra's performances, and you chose this headliner, Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto, for this Saturday show, and you're bringing in a huge powerhouse of a talent. Shall we begin there, or do you have even more momentous news to bring?
Well, let's start there, Kate. I'm glad you noticed, because the synergy and the energy at the symphony is just absolutely amazing. And this opening performance, the season opener, is going to be so exciting, which kind of will give the flavor of what this entire season and the next couple of seasons have in store for us. The Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto is a huge piece of music and is one of the staples of the violin repertoire. And you have to be someone to be able to understand and have the ability to play and to let us appreciate this piece of music. It's an amazing virtuosic piece of music. And I'm so delighted, and we are so fortunate to have Ilya Kala, Russian-born violinist, coming to Paducah, Kentucky. This is an international soloist of the A-list, and this is what we are looking at for our future. Ilya Kala is the only violinist to ever have placed gold medal in the top three prestigious violin concertos in the world. He was gold medalist in the Tchaikovsky concerto competition, the Sibelius, and the Paganini. And I can't tell you how delighted I am, because these things start as dreams of the list of players and musicians that I want to make music with. And when they start to come true and they start to realize, it is just absolutely inspiring for me, the orchestra, and it will be a real treat for us here in Western Kentucky.
Now, that performance is the centerpiece, and it's fascinating. In your notes, your program notes, you say that the premiere received mixed reviews, and that the violin was not played but beaten black and blue. How do you make that out, huh?
I think, well, first of all, again, when anything is new, people are a little afraid and people don't understand it. Also, when these things were written, they're written for a certain violinist. Now, I have to tell you, I think this is just an example of how the violin technique has improved over the years. I just think that today, you know, you have students at the university level who are playing Tchaikovsky concerto. But to really play it, it takes a virtuosic technique. It takes a maturity of a person to be able to digest this piece and to play it. I'm sure if you asked Ilya how he felt when he won the concerto competition in Russia with this particular concerto, by the way, how he felt back then as opposed to how he feels now as a more seasoned player, he probably feels totally different about the piece in general, and his technique has changed over the time. And that's the same thing with any field, any piece of music, any instrumentalist. It's just shows that the technique is improved so much on that instrument.
Now, the Tchaikovsky is a blockbuster for sure, but the rest of the program is pretty darn big and exciting as well.
You know, I started off with a flare, the ritual fire dance of Manuel de Falla, I mean, a Spanish-born composer who wrote a very small body of work. But I have to say that I think everything he wrote is stunningly beautiful and to perfection. It's incredible. You know, you can write a million pieces, but then you like 10 out of what they've done. But Manuel de Falla has this very small list of repertoire, but it's all wonderful. And his ritual fire dance comes from a much larger work of his. But this short little wispy thing really will set the tone of what I want this performance to be, a ritual fire dance. And I want this flair and energy and fire for this entire season. And it's a great opener for our concert. The second half, I've put Sergei Rachmaninoff's symphonic dances. Another Russian composer who was heavily influenced by Tchaikovsky, but this piece is extraordinary and challenges even the finest orchestras in the land. And the Paducah Symphony Orchestra will just devour this piece, and this is the level that this orchestra is playing at now, and I'm very proud of my musicians.
Well, you know, it really is breathtaking as an opener for your season. Scan and give us highlights of that season to come, and so we can look forward to everything.
You know, we're doing some different things. I'm bringing in an Italian pianist, Fabio Bedini, coming from Italy, who will be playing the Ravel G minor concerto with us. I've heard him do this with the Buffalo Philharmonic a couple of years ago. He's absolutely an amazing pianist, and I'm so pleased to say that we're bringing in world-class international talent now to the Paducah Symphony Orchestra. You know, my feeling is here in Western Kentucky, Kate, is that, you know, New York Philharmonic does 150 services a year, and people there are used to a certain standard. We do 7 major performances a year, once a month here in Paducah, and I think our people, our community deserves the same level of talent as they do in the New York Philharmonic. And I'm happy to bring that kind of level here. It's great for our musicians, it's great for our community, and it's just an awe-inspiring experience to make music with them and to sit in that hall. So that's great. We're also going to be featuring our principal bassoonist, Dong Schenkel, this season. I heard a couple of recordings of her a season ago that she had done with a European orchestra, and she's a fabulous player. And I'm proud to be showcasing one of our own talent to show everybody that this really is an all-star orchestra made up of real talent from 5 states in this region that I'm proud to be affiliated with. And Dawn will be playing the Weber Concerto and is absolutely an amazing player, but also it will put a spotlight on an instrument that we often see sitting in the orchestra but don't often hear it enough. And this will put the attention on the bassoon, and that's a beautiful opportunity. I'll also be doing a Kentucky premiere of a piece by Jacob Tews, our assistant principal violist, who has written a charming piece that once I heard it, he let me look at the score a year and a half ago, and I thought it's really valid music that we need to hear, and I'm so proud to be putting his music forward. And to have a live composer on the stage actually playing it with us, because I want to ask him in front of our audience, what were you thinking, man? What were you thinking?
Gosh, you know, I assume that all of the performers and you feel absolutely blessed to have the ambiance of the Carson Center in which to perform. Will Ilya Kahler's master class be there at the Carson Center as well, or is he going to be?
I think it's at a different location, and that's the day after the performance on Sunday. And my feeling is that everyone should take an opportunity to come and hear and see this. This is not just for musicians. This is for our public as well, to get a chance to get into the head, to hear these players play examples for us, and to talk about the process of music making and get into their head a little bit about how they got there and what is happening here. It's absolutely stunning, and every time I get a chance to hear master classes or spend time with these artists, I learn things myself that I never thought of or never thought of from that angle before. What does a violinist go through as they're playing a concerto with a symphony orchestra? I mean, it's an extraordinary moment and a difficult task. So I encourage everyone to take advantage of it. All our artists, our guest artists, will be giving those master classes this year, and that's a new thing for the symphony.
Well, I guess very cool is the inadequate phrase that keeps coming to my mind. Maestro, I'd like to ask you, what's your life like when you're not being focused on performance in Paducah? What have you been doing since last season?
Well, I just became music director of the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra in Punta Gorda, Florida. So my schedule has just enhanced now with 3 orchestras as music director, plus my guest conducting schedule is growing as well. So I'm finding that when I'm not on the podium, I'm spending a lot of time in a little room with a lot of scores trying to figure out what's going on. and always preparing the next week with a different orchestra. And I find that it's an interesting task because I have to program differently for each orchestra because of different styles in the orchestra, some different strengths with each orchestra, but also different communities can bear different repertoire and almost want different repertoire while still trying to introduce new things, fresh ideas, and grow programs. There's no formula that works for all the orchestras, so you have to really tap into the heart and soul of the community and program that way. And I'm finding that to be a wonderful challenge.
Maestro, do you have colleagues who are similarly spread out through the nation, leading local ensembles? Is there like a conductor's club in the U.S. today?
Well, there's the Conductors Guild, which is a really wonderful organization, and also the League of American Orchestras, which sort of cater to the same. And I would say that, unfortunately, it's become this way now. You know, the days when Arturo Toscanini had one orchestra and he conducted every performance, very few guest conductors in those days, was really a great, great time because it was one of those situations where a conductor could really develop a sound, a style, and bring his programming to a community. Nowadays, conductors seem to hold three, sometimes even four or five positions, plus guest conducting, because of the economics of things and the way things work. And sometimes when guest conductors are coming into your orchestra very frequently, other people are training your orchestra to different styles, and that sometimes breaks down a little bit of the what I like to hear sound type of thing. But so it's challenging. It's very challenging nowadays.
Have you traveled to Italy recently?
I have been to Italy recently. I've been to Canada recently. It's funny because even in Europe, the business is changing because in Europe, I have to do no fundraising. I have to do no handshaking, baby kissing type of thing. It's basically just get on the podium, make music. When the music stops, turn around and bow, and I can go home. But it's changing even in Europe now. Opera is not as close to the chest as it used to be, where everyone on the streets was singing it, because generations are being missed there now as well. So the work is changing also in Europe, unfortunately.
Gosh. Well, so all this week you're rehearsing with the Paducah Symphony Orchestra and doing press conferences and being a star in Paducah. We're so glad that you're in town and that you have a really big show planned for Saturday night that will be rebroadcast on WKMS as well.
Well, Kate, I can tell you, your voice and the entire station, WKMS, is so important because in different parts of the country, I have to tell you, they're starving for great programming and great classical radio. So what you're doing, you are the voice of the Paducah Symphony Orchestra, and I can't thank you and your staff enough.
Maestro, ciao.
Ciao.
You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS 91.3 Murray. Both our channels of programming sound good online at WKMS.org. And that broadcast of this Saturday's performance of the Paducah Symphony will be Sunday, September 22nd at 11 a.m. Normally, it would be 8 days after the original broadcast, but, Kate, we're fundraising, so we'll push it back a week.